You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Global bond markets have been generally cheered up in 2024 by two things: falling inflation and thus falling interest rates. And then came Donald Trump. The next president of the United States campaigned on a lower inflationary environment in the United States. But the markets, after his confirmation as the next president, sort of took a different view. With me is Adam Furlan, portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. Quite a strange reaction from the market initially, but then when you delve into the details, not so strange, Adam.
Yes, that's correct, Lindsay. And I think the most predominant standout move the Donald Trump victory is the move in the US dollar. And the US dollar has appreciated against the G7 currencies as well as EMFX in quite a big move. The US dollar kind of has everything going for it at the moment. It has higher yields, better interest rate differentials, as well as now, you know, the push on growth that the market is expecting as a result of, you know, the Republican sweep, Donald Trump doing deregulation, tax cuts, likely to buoy growth in that economy.
Yes, I mean, let's go back to the very basic stuff that I understand, and that is that if interest rates are not going to fall as fast as many people have anticipated in 2024, going into 2025 and beyond, then the dollar strengthens because of the yield factor, and therefore bond markets are under pressure. Is that too simplistic an argument?
I think that is fair for the first order. And, that is what has been happening in the markets more recently. The expectations of the Fed have repriced significantly in the front end. About 50 to 75 basis points of rate cuts have been taken out of market expectations over the coming year. And we had actually remarks from Fed Chair Powell overnight, firstly saying they don't need to be in a rush. They expect inflation to return to target, but it's going to be a bumpy ride. Reiterating that, they may slow their easing cycle and not go consecutively going forward. And, furthermore, he continues to add that they will not try and preempt any fiscal policy changes ahead of time because it is too uncertain. And that's obviously a very dangerous game for a central bank to be playing. But ultimately, those rate cuts have come out of the US more than anywhere else. And that is making the dollar look far more an attractive currency to be holding relative to the rest of the world. Adding to that, trade tariffs, the expectations of tariffs further increases, the market's expectation that the dollar will be appreciating relative to emerging market currencies as well as G7 currencies.
Now, I don't want to be disparaging about politicians, but there have been cases in the past, one or two maybe, where they haven't kept their pre-election promises. Is there any chance that, for example, the new Trump administration will not initiate a broad round of tariff introduction and will not do some of the other things like a massive across-the-board tax cuts which will fuel demand in the economy? Is there any chance that it was just all bluster, or do you think this time it's going to be a reality?
I mean, I think you have to take him at his word. However, what was initially proposed when he was in his campaign was, 60% blanket tariffs on Chinese goods, on all Chinese imports into the US, 20% blanket tariffs on the rest of the world. That is likely not to pan out in that manner. We expect something a bit more targeted. Blanket tariffs would be extremely disruptive and not achieve essentially what he is trying to achieve. So we expect certain sectors, most likely vehicles, chip manufacturing, and probably a focus more on economies where the US has a very significant trade deficit. And that is China, Europe, and Mexico. Definitely probably a softer outcome than what, has been promised. But we do think there will be, significant shifts on the tariff front as well as on the tax front. It is what he is aiming to deliver. And we expect now that he has control of both the Senate and the House, we expect they will be able to deliver on those.
Yes, he is all conquering and all powerful at the moment and feeling very, very confident, having seen various speeches recently. So let's say say that the interest rate cycle is still in place. Interest rate cutting cycle is still in place, but it's not going to be quite as aggressive as it might have been pre-Trump. Now, the dollar will then remain firm. And what does that mean for emerging market currencies, particularly vulnerable ones? I mean, maybe even the South African rand may come under pressure. And also the ability of emerging market governments to service debt, because if interest rates don't come down, that means that their debt burden remains the same or even gets worse if, heaven forbid, interest rates start to rise. Is there a risk to emerging markets because of Trumpflation?
There is definitely risks that we do start to see inflation uptick as a result of certain Trump policies. But it is a double-edged sword because on the one hand, tariffs would be inflationary in some aspects, but the impact that they may have on growth, global growth, may actually offset the actual tariff on inflation. On the other hand, other policies that Trump is looking to implement, tax cuts, deregulation, are positive for global growth. And, you know, in that environment, as we've seen equity markets rallying quite strongly on the back of his win, in that positive global growth environment, that's an environment that emerging markets actually like. So it is very much, you know, we think quite focused, particularly in South Africa, on, you know, what is happening to commodities, you know, what is the impact on China, how is China likely to respond to tariffs that are being put on that economy. And, you know, as we've seen in this more recent move, whilst the move was most definitely driven by rate differentials, you know, the South African terms of trade have actually declined, you know, with softer commodities, softer precious metals. The currency has declined in line with its terms of trade move, which has been weaker since the outcome of the Trump election.
So medium and long term, is what you're saying, is, well, the way I interpret it is that Trump's administration reigniting the U.S. economy and thus the world's economy is good for countries like South Africa, who are commodity producers, because commodity demand is likely to go up.
I wouldn't say outright good. It's very hard to determine at this stage, you know, what is going to be the driving factor, what will be the dominant force. Is it, you know, the tariff outcome, the isolationist sort of economic outcome that actually is detrimental to emerging markets, or is it the growth side of the ledger that actually buoys global growth as a whole and actually offsets the negative impacts of tariffs on emerging markets? It is very tough to determine that at this stage, also given we don't know the magnitude of each side, of each fiscal and tax change that will be made. But it is not necessarily, you know, completely negative for emerging markets, the policies that Trump will be implementing.
Post-Trump, has 91 had a re-look at its investment strategy when it comes to bonds, to currencies, and also the impact of foreign direct investment in South Africa and other countries? Have you sat down and said, okay, this could happen, therefore we should do this, or should look to do it, should it come to fruition next year?
Yeah, most definitely. We have sat down and thought about various scenarios of U.S. Policy changes, then looked at, you know, what that means for the Fed in particular. What is that likely to mean for, you know, the dollar, emerging market currencies, and then assess, you know, within our portfolios, how can we position the portfolio to give us room to, you know, to counteract moves that we think are quite extreme. So currently positioned relatively conservatively and are waiting for better levels to actually add to fixed income assets in particular, because we see the market quite aggressive repricing out of fixed income assets that we've seen, we think is potentially slightly overdone.
Adam, thank you very much for your analysis. Adam Furlan is a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.